entertainer, and entrepreneur answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Larry Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
That's right. It's time to get out the flag and carefully display it. If you don't have one, say a prayer of thanks if you are so disposed to, or give a salute of respect to those that died making this nation free and those that have given their service keeping it free. Larry Adams with a reminder of respect from the American Adversaries Drive Time on AM 660 The Answer and the Mercury Free Studio. By the way, did you hear our Vice President Biden proclaim? He's so broke, he doesn't even have a savings account. He's a millionaire. If he doesn't have a savings account, how can he be smart enough to be our VP? Or does he lie every time he opens his mouth? Our host tells the truth and nothing but the painful truth, Christopher Hart!
All right, welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you once again for listening to us on this 4th of July Eve. And I see, looking out the window here, the wind is kicking up, so if there are any storms out there, just be careful as you're driving around. And we don't want you to miss the holiday tomorrow, and of course we don't want you to miss Carl Jackson live Saturday morning at 8 a.m. or the American Adversaries live Sunday night at 5. And make sure you take good care of yourself. That's right. We are coming to you live on AM 660, The Answer, from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. That was Larry Adams. I am Christopher Hart. And we got a big special treat lined up for you today because we have a couple of the other adversaries in the studio. We have Nostradamus and Johnny Guns in here today, guys.
You know, for most working people, it feels like a Friday day, but for Johnny and me, Feels like Sunday.
Now, since 4th of July is tomorrow, I brought in my sparklers. Can I light those while I'm in the studio?
I reckon not.
What's your phrase? Light them if you got it?
Whatever we do, you won't be able to see it as well as hear it because Lucas is here and he's got us up on the Ustream.tv. So see us, go right there to Ustream.tv or go out to our Facebook page where it's linked in.
He doesn't just have us up. He has the newest in technology, the Lucas Cam.
Yeah.
Lucas turns left.
I see. So
there I am. Lucas turns right. There's Johnny.
It's like one of those NASCAR cameras,
it's
right?
It's wild.
Yeah. All right. And of course, we have Nicholas Cicero on the bridge
tonight.
Boy, does
he work cheap.
So we are in good shape. I've got a little bit of sad news. Well, not a little bit. A lot of sad news, in a way, to bring to you tonight, folks. And we'll talk more about this later on in the show. But we have lost a member of the American Adversaries family, someone who's been with us from pretty much the very start, who we would not know Mike McBath. We would not know Danny McKnight. We would not know a whole host of other great people were it not for Ed Ganster.
Oh, my gosh.
Who passed away early this morning. We mentioned on the show the Sunday night, please hold him in your prayers. On the one hand, I'm very sad because we've lost a great friend. But on the other hand, that noise that you might have been woken up by this morning was the sound of the gates of heaven slamming open as Ed Ganster would have been welcomed with a great celebration, I'm sure.
Amen to that.
And we'll talk more about Ed Ganster later on in the show. And we have a special tribute to him. please stick around for that. We're also going to do today's installment of The Dumb and the Feckless.
Oh, that's a great series. I love that.
I hope you folks are enjoying it as much as we're enjoying and doing it for you. And we also have Scotty Nell Hughes from the Tea Party News Network, and she's going to join us here in the next segment. And we're hoping that Lloyd Marcus can make it into the studio. And if you folks have never heard of Lloyd Marcus or had the opportunity to meet him, he's a very special individual, writes and performs tremendously great music, and we're going to use his music as the bumper today, and we'll use also a rendition of his to go out of the show with tonight. Hopefully it'll put you more in the mood for the holiday. But before we get really in deep into the show today, I wanted last night to talk about the District 31 debate that I attended the night before at Journey Church. District 31 State House seat, west side of Apopka up through Lake County. There were a lot of people there, and met a couple of listeners, and I want to thank you folks for coming out to that. And four candidates were there, the four who have qualified. Randy Glisson, Terry Seafelt, Jennifer Sullivan, and Joseph Stevens were all there. And I must say they are all good stalwart conservatives. They all would be make great representatives in the sense that they all share a very strong conservative philosophy. I will say that John Stenberger did a great job moderating the debate, and it was, I believe, very insightful about the candidates. And on the surface of it, as we came away and I talked to some of the people after the debate, you know, a bit of the consensus was, wow, it's going to be a tough choice because they're all good, strong conservatives. And so then I thought to myself, though, well, then they're all good, strong conservatives. What then would maybe be the deciding question? And that to me was, who can go up there and make an impact right now? We can't wait. We can't wait not one minute. We need people ready to make action, to make the decisions right now to put this country back on the right course.
And on the job training, not enough?
No. Yeah. Right, did we learn that with Barack Obama?
Yeah.
Okay, and so there was one candidate of these four who clearly has the experience and the demeanor that she can go up there and make an impact right now, and that is Terry Seafelt, because she has been in the business community for a long time in a business industry that works closely with government. She's been the president of various organizations in her industry, the insurance industry. She goes up to Tallahassee when they're in session. She works with the legislature. They already know her. She can go up there and make an impact today. And that's what we need right now. We got a big thing that we got to get rid of in this state called Common Core. And we got a Republican that's really wishy-washy on it. And we need people who are going to go in there. And all four of these people would have the same goal. Make no mistake about that. But the one who I believe could accomplish the most toward that goal is clearly, in my mind, Terry Seafelt. So when I looked at it that way, what on the surface of it was a very difficult choice became very easy. So if anybody out there, you know, was at the debate and saw it any differently, I would love to hear from you. I want to thank John Stenberger and the people at Florida Family Policy Council for putting that on, because those are the sorts of things that people need to know to find out more about candidates so that you can actually be comfortable when you go in that voting booth, when you're going and working on something a little more than name recognition, right? You're working on a conviction, not a whim and a prayer or hope.
So many people vote on, whose sign did I see last before I got here to the polling place?
Right, exactly. Right, exactly. So, nonetheless, they're all four strong candidates, and I hope that they all, the three who don't win, whoever they may be, find some other elective office to run for and be successful in that, because they are all, they would all make good conservative representatives wherever they choose to serve. So it was proud to see. It was a proud moment to see that. This is a song by Lloyd Marcus. I hope you folks like it.
Americans, good people, blessed by God. A unique experiment which has survived against all odds. With courage and compassion, and a yearning to be free. Grateful America, you.
Nostradamus with the American Adversaries. Drive time on AM 660, The Answer. And we're back with our guest, the founder of the Tea Party News Network and one of the ground forces in the grassroots movement to make sure we elect the right people. Scotty Nell Hughes, welcome back to the American Adversaries.
Thanks for having me. Very much an honor on this Independence Day Eve to be back on with you.
Now, Scott, real quick, are you at home in Tennessee tonight?
I am in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm so excited for once.
Excellent. Last time I talked to you on the phone, it was off the air, but I could hear the banjos in the background. You're in the hinterlands of Mississippi.
Oh, I live. God bless Mississippi. Let me just tell you, I have a real love for Mississippi right now, but I can't tell you. If someone told me I was having to go back there tomorrow, I would break out in hives.
Now, on the one hand, your guy lost. But on the other hand, do you have any good things to take away from that primary?
Okay, first of all, there's those hives coming back right now. Yeah. Because if anybody in this country that is a conservative actually thinks Chris McDaniel lost the Republican vote, then you obviously have not been paying attention to the news. Yep. He did not lose the Republican vote. What he lost was the Democrat vote, which makes no sense considering this was a Republican primary runoff.
Right. Our friends at True the Vote, Catherine Engelbrecht, are actually suing the Republican Party of the state of Mississippi for several different things they did wrong in not allowing them access to the ballots before and after the elections.
Completely. And I appreciate Catherine, everything she's doing, and I've offered to her anything I can do to help. And what's even more funny is now, even post-election, I got a report today that one of the counties wanted to charge $1,800 to the McDaniel campaign just for them to go in and review the records, the voting rolls, the voting books. Now, wait a minute. Back this up for me. Taxpayer dollars paid for this election. Taxpayer dollars paid for the people to administer the election. So now, why does more money have you put in when they've already been paid for twice?
Especially when that's a public record.
You would think public record.
Yeah.
And so doing my research today and trying to figure out a way of where they find this loophole, I found that in most towns and communities across the United States, local governments can come in and say, yeah, they can find these loopholes and say, no, we're going to charge you by how many pages you flip, or if you're going to make copies, they can charge you. And I'm going, but what about it? What is this with the freedom of speech? What is this about the freedom? You know, freedoms, this just seems like a different America. And anytime the government does not want to give you access to their documents, you know why that is. It's because they're doing something wrong.
Yeah, they want to hide something. That's for sure. And now McDaniel still hasn't conceded, and he's putting together a case to be made that there were a number of these Democrats that you mentioned who actually had already voted in the earlier primary. This was a runoff. And they evidently, how many has he found? Have you been following that part of the story?
I haven't. It goes back and forth. You know, one county they found 1,000. Another county they found 3,000. So we're thinking we've got about 4,000 at this point minimum. And that was as of yesterday's fabulous conference call with Austin Barber.
And he lost by about 6,000?
We're looking at 6,000, 7,000 votes. But the key is in all this, you have to look at, there is one county that has admitted that they did not exchange their voter books. See, how this works out usually is the Republicans and the Democrats, they exchange their voter rolls, their registration.
So they know, who already voted?
Exactly. So they know exactly who ever voted. It's amazing. In some of these high Democrat counties, that exchange never happened.
Oops.
Oops, my bad. And in a state like Mississippi, where the Secretary of State is elected, therefore able to endorse, do you want to take a gander at who the Secretary of State of Mississippi endorsed?
I was just getting ready to ask you, is he a Democrat or is she a Democrat themselves?
Oh, he's a Republican, and he endorsed
Thad Cochran.
I know that
okay.
comes as a surprise
right.
at this point.
Yeah, what am I talking about? Yeah. So, yeah, surprise, surprise, establishment. Scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
And I think this is why this matters to the rest of the country, because this does open up Pandora's box for politicians.
Yeah.
And it speaks very, very sadly about the state of the Republican Party. If we're going to allow our establishment folks, when they're in trouble, which we know they are in trouble, they are not the voice of the majority of GOPers, that they are able to go across the lines and recruit Democrats just to come over for them to win, instead of them saying, hey, maybe I need to go where the majority of people want me to be, which is to my conservative base. And if Ryan Priebus and the RNC does not stand up for this and say, folks, this is not the precedence we need to be taking, and if they don't say, you know what, we need to start closing primaries in every state, I promise you, this is a Pandora's box that I guarantee will end up destroying the GOP.
Folks, we're talking with Scotty Nell Hughes of the Tea Party News Network. And Scotty, where can people see you on the Tea Party News Network? Where and when?
Go right now, tpnn.com. We've got a bunch of stories. Obviously, it's the 4th of July, but you can also go on there, and you'll have a little box over there. They'll take you over to my page, and you'll see a couple of little projects that I'm working on.
All right, that's tpnn.com. Scotty, what are you guys finding out about this immigration nightmare going on the southern border there with these children being smuggled in, and then the United States government basically participating in the smuggling process by getting them from point C to point D?
Well, I think the biggest question that we're wondering right now, and we still have not found an answer, is why did all of a sudden this start? You know, the one thing about this president that we have learned is that he does a great job of shocking, awing, and distracting. And there was a lot of pressure that was getting on this president with the Veterans Administration. There was a lot of stuff going on, obviously, international affairs right now. I mean, when we're sitting there and we're begging for an old former NBA star with more piercings in him than Claire's Ear Boutique to be doing our foreign relations instead of John Kerry, we know we've got a problem right now in Iraq and Afghanistan. But why all of a sudden did these kids start pouring over our border just magically? And I think that's one thing that we're looking at right now, first of all, because when you know the cause, then you know actually how hopefully the solution can be to cut this off. I'm at the point now, and I think the majority of Tea Partiers are, you know what, let's start mass deportations, but let's not just deport. Let's deport them at the whole family as a whole. We don't need to just take mom and dad. Let's take the whole family. Let's put them back illegally, the illegals, put them back in their country where they started, and let them start the process. But I can assure you, any immigration reform that happens right now under this president and a Harry Reid Senate, it will be the farthest thing from what this country needs.
I believe you're right about that. And, you know, Boehner keeps saying, well, I can't say he keeps saying, because he keeps changing what he's saying. You know, just a few weeks ago, he was talking.
We're doing immigration reform.
Yeah, and then now all of a sudden, we're not doing immigration reform. I mean, it's, you know, anytime they start talking about doing or not doing anything, it makes me nervous no matter what. I think that certainly part of the reason that we're seeing this tragedy on the border is that the president is trying to put pressure on the Republicans who are, you know, opposing him in immigration, and it's only going to build. I can only foresee this getting worse before it gets better.
It is going to get worse, and I think you're right, and I think that's what we have to be worried about these last two years while he's in office.
You're absolutely right, because let me interject this, and I'll let you finish your thought. Look at what he's doing has been doing to the country from the very start, and it's so stark in what happened yesterday in what was that town in California where they blocked the buses?
Yes, everybody started getting in the right. Yes.
Merida or something like that. He is really turning everybody in this country against one another. Uh-huh. He has been the farthest thing from the uniter that he was sold to us as being. He has been in every way the divider. And his legacy, if we make it through these 2 years, his legacy is, we're going to be stuck with his mess for a long time, I'm afraid.
And that's what we have to realize right now. And I find it very sad that people like you and I have to talk strategy when it comes to elections right now, that we can't sit there and look at a person and say, okay, is this a man or a woman of integrity, and do they represent the values that I would want them to represent in Washington, D.C., or whatever elected official? That's not what we're able to talk about right now. We're having to look at this big picture. I feel like we're playing a chess game. We're one little move, and guess what? We're checkmarked. What I fear is, and it can go either way, some folks right now within the Tea Party, especially looking at Mississippi, go, you know what? give it to them. Let those rhino Republicans, let's run them out of office. Let's not show up and vote. Let's just go on and let the Democrats rule and the people do what they want, and we'll start from brand new. That's one route. The other route that I hear is, okay, you know what? Let's all unite. Let's sit here. Let's get us through. Let's take back the Senate in November, and then, you know, come 2015, we can start sorting it out again. My fear is right now that the Democrats know that. And while, yes, they want to fight and they want to make sure that we don't hold on, that, you know, that they want to look like they want to hold on to power, truth is they know that there is no way that this economy can sit here and handle itself. They know that the last 2 years of this administration is going to be a disaster for the Democrats.
Hey,
and so if they want to be able to hold the White House in 2016, they're going to need somebody to blame it on.
Yeah.
And as long as Republicans control the House and Senate, we're going to be the best scapegoat.
All right. Scotty, can you stay with us through the break?
Of course.
Okay, because Nostradamus has a question or two for you as well. And when we come back, we'll have more with Scotty Nell Hughes of the Tea Party News Network, TPNN.com, and now more of Lloyd Marcus.
Rain falls from the sky, and like the wind, trouble all.
Powered by RX News Minute, soundbyterx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart for SoundbiteRx.com, the great place to find the stories that will help you be informed, folks. Brand new today, SoundbiteRx.com. President Obama, we're out whining and complaining again. You'll find a great story at SoundbiteRx.com about that. And more about Iran. We were talking about this with Claudia Rosette. You'll find another great story at SoundbiteRx.com today. And by the way, do you know who made the deciding argument in the Supreme Court case for the Hobby Lobby that was just the decision handed down Monday? Well, it might not be who you think. According to the New York Times, it was Bill Clinton who made the deciding argument back in 1993. You'll find that story at SoundbiteRx.com today, too. And, oh, yeah, here's more about the IRS scandal. Now, Daryl Issa not only says that Lois Lerner is lying, he's now accusing Lois Lerner's lawyer of lying. So the layers just keep getting thicker and thicker with that story, that's for sure. And also this is a great article. It compares Barack Obama to Harry Truman. No, it is not a good comparison if you're Barack Obama. But, folks, if you want to be informed, you'll find a lot of stuff brand new every day, soundbiterx.com. Please go there. It's good medicine. We'll be right back.
When I see rain fall from the sky.
All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. Once again, that is Lloyd Marcus, a remarkable entertainer, and we'll be playing his music all throughout the show today.
Sorry, Nick. You know, he said, wave to me when you want the mic on, and I'm waving my hands like I'm in the black church chorus here.
Yeah, you're getting into it there. Okay, and I hope you folks are getting into it, too. This is, of course, 4th of July Eve, and a reminder, we will be taking tomorrow off, and, of course, we will be back Sunday evening for our three-hour extraordinary tour for the American Adversaries. And don't forget, though, Saturday morning, Carl Jackson live at 8 o'clock on AM 660, The Answer, and then at 10 o'clock, catch our brand new show called What's the Score. This week we have Mike McBath, and it's a fascinating story, his story about how he went from Buffalo Bill to stockbroker to owner of the Orlando Predators. And so tune in at 10 o'clock for What's the Score, and 2 o'clock for Marshall Polston. All right. We are the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time on AM 660. The Answer. I am Christopher Hart in the studio with Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns. Our man Lucas has us up on Ustream.tv. And on the line right now, we have Scotty Nell Hughes of the Tea Party News Network. And you can see her work at TPNN.com. If you would like to call in, right now is the time to do it. 407-774-8255. And real quickly, before we get to Nostradamus' question, Scotty, have you ever heard of Marcus, Lloyd Marcus?
Do you want me to say yes or no?
if you've heard of him, say yes.
I'm being put on the spot. Now, I do know of a Lloyd Marcus who is a great conservative writer, but I don't think it's the same one.
Lloyd is a...
it is the same one.
Tea Party.
I just sat here and Googled.
Yep,
yes, Tea Party. I was with Floyd Marcus last week, in fact, in Biloxi, Mississippi.
Ah, there
yes,
you go.
Right.
I didn't know he sang.
Yes.
So you keep saying his name. I'm like, okay, it couldn't be the same one. That is what a small world it is.
Hey, you need to get a hold of his music and give him some exposure on your network if you can, because he is a fantastic entertainer.
We put his writing out there all the time. We love him as a conservative activist. I've been speaking with him at several different events. I had no idea the boy could sing.
He sings and he talks,
he
huh?
He sure enough can. All right, anyway, like Nostradamus.
I don't get that. Unless you get me in the shower, I don't have that kind of talent.
Scotty.
Oh, that, yes.
Let me get to a story. One of your colleagues.
I can see imagination going on. All right.
Thank you.
Scotty, yes. One of your colleagues today, Jennifer Burke, put up a story talking about how Obama is suing an American company. The reason will blow your mind. Can you blow our mind with this?
Yes. No, this is, I love this one. Okay. So Barack Obama and Eric Holder are fighting because they believe rights are important. And we're not talking about the right to life, especially in the wake of the Hobby Lobby case. We're not talking about religious liberty. Nope, not doing that. Free speech, all the rights that you would think that would be. Nope, they are demanding the right for people to be able to communicate in other languages besides English. That is what they're suing people for. They believe, and this is, we're looking at a company that's out of Green Bay, Wisconsin. They are looking at this company for firing a group of Hispanic workers because they could not speak English. They say that is wrong.
And this is being pursued by, of course, Attorney General Eric Withholder on behalf of the Obama administration. And you know, this is an environment where people need to be able to communicate with one another, right?
You think. But now I'm completely convinced that Eric Holder has naked pictures of Barack Obama and my entire administration, because there's no way a man could have the job after everything that he's done. But this is the case that he decides to go after.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I want to think about naked pictures of Barack Obama, but
could be Barack Obama in mom jeans. You
yeah,
know which one's the worst thought?
Or naked pictures of Janet Reno?
Yeah, there. See, I didn't go that dirty.
Yeah, for sure. You want to
and they're not talking specifically about workers who talk with each other during break time in other languages. They're talking about not knowing how to speak English on a job where you're operating equipment and machinery that can kill people if it's not properly
used. That's what I'm saying. You would think that it would be a safety issue, that OSHA would be, you know, saying, hey, you know, if a guy's going to operate a piece of equipment around other people, they should all be able to talk with each other, wouldn't you think?
No, that's completely it. And whether you want to look at that issue, this is what's always got me when I've traveled around different cities and I've seen literally driving signs, road signs in Spanish. And I'm like, but wait a minute. No. We are in America. We should be talking English. And I'm going, if they can't even read stop or if they can't read yield, then why the heck are they operating a car around me?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Scotty, I want to thank you for being with us this afternoon, and we look forward to talking to you again in the near future. And we're encouraging people to go to TPNN.com to see your stuff. So thanks again, and you have a great 4th of July weekend.
Fantastic. Thank you, and happy Independence Day to you, your families, and all your listeners.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. All right, folks, it's time for today's episode of The Dumb and the Feckless. Today's story, we join once again first gal pal Valerie Jarrett. David Plouf understood Valerie Jarrett's concerns about Bill Clinton. Indeed, he shared many of them, but he also felt that Jarrett had a tin political ear and had given Obama boneheaded advice on many issues before. Things like the Solyndra solar panel manufacturer went bankrupt and doomed effort to bring the Olympics to Chicago. In Plouf's opinion, Jarrett was even more out of her depth when it came to campaign strategy. As Plouf saw it, the constituent groups that he intended to assemble and mobilize into Obama's coalition for the 2012 presidential election, African Americans, Hispanics, single women, young people, government workers, gays and lesbians, and educated professionals, all loved Bill Clinton. The former president is like an elixir with this emerging coalition, he said during the White House confab, over the virtues of using Bill Clinton in the upcoming election. But Plouf saved his clinching argument for last. He said he had received a report through the political grapevine that Bill Clinton was urging Hillary to challenge Obama next year for their party's presidential nomination. The word was that Hillary didn't want to risk such a run against a sitting president of her own party, but that Bill had commissioned a secret poll in which likely Democratic primary voters were asked whom they preferred, Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. Bill was thinking of leaking the results of the poll to the media, which showed that Hillary was far more popular among rank-and-file Democrats than Obama. We could blow this whole thing by keeping Clinton at arm's length, Pluff warned Obama. The president was stunned by the news that Bill Clinton had commissioned a secret poll showing that Hillary was more popular than Democrats than he was. In a later conversation with a friend, Jarrett said that Obama's reaction was reflected in the expression on his face. His sullen pout was replaced by a look of grim determination. Under stress, Obama's lips pursed and his chin receded. Valerie Jarrett could read Obama's every facial tick, twitch, and tremor, and she could tell that Obama had been won over by Pluff's argument. By now, in fact, Jarrett was pretty much the only one in the room who was working against this idea of using Bill Clinton in the campaign. She had a clear choice. She could either continue fighting or she could stand down and fight another day. She looked at her watch and got up from the sofa. "Screw this," she said. "Let's just do it. Promise Clinton the moon. You're the president. You don't have to give him anything after you're elected." With that, Jarrett walked over to an open door where a group of her aides were waiting with urgent messages from far-flung corners of the government. She paused in the doorway for a moment, looked back, and saw the president nod. It was a signal that the meeting was over. Feelers would be sent out to Bill Clinton. The secret backroom plan hatched by David Pluff would be set in motion. It appeared that Pluff had won the argument. But that was not the way Jarrett saw it. She had no intention of disappointing Michelle and allowing the president to honor an agreement with Bill Clinton. As far as Jarrett was concerned, the president was under no obligation to go along with such a deal. Like Obama, Jarrett was the product of Chicago-style politics. She had worked for Mayor Daley's political machine, and when it came to dealing with Bill Clinton, Jarrett favored the Chicago way. Let Obama pat Clinton on the back so he would know later where to stick the knife. Trailed by her entourage, Valerie Jarrett disappeared into the West Wing, plotting her next move. Don't forget to tune in Monday, folks, for more of The Dumb and the Feckless. The true story of the blood feud between the Clintons and the Obamas, as presented by Ed Klein.
We got to get this sponsored somewhere.
I'm amazed at how you can read and play the piano at the same time.
That's very good.
That's pretty cool.
And play the violin.
I tell you, I love that music. Real quickly, before we go to the phone lines, you have some interesting news about the book itself.
Well, sure. Hillary's book is not doing well. In fact, it's kind of radioactive in that its sales are a half-life. Every week it sells half as many as it did the week before. In fact, I want to thank the folks at Federalist.com for putting this together. These are seven books that are selling better right now than Hillary's book Hard Choices on Amazon. Now, the New York Times still has Hillary at number one and still has Ed Klein's book Nowhere in Sight. Okay?
Yeah.
For the third week in a row, they say Hillary's number one. But on Amazon, which actually tracks what's been sold, these are seven books that are better than Hard Choices, according to Amazon.
In other words, these seven books are higher on the list than Hillary's.
Higher ranking, yes.
Okay, all right.
Number one, of course, is Blood Feud by Ed Klein.
Okay. Been
number one for the past. And this is an hourly thing. Every hour, they re-rank them again. So it's fresh and hot and new.
All right.
Another book that's better than that, number two, 10-Day Green Smoothie Cleanse. Lose up to 15 pounds in 10 days.
Get yourself a high colonic.
The ultimate sticker book. Frozen, a book of stickers, is doing better than Hillary's book.
Well, I have that one.
You got to have
that. The Doctor's Diet, Dr. Travis Stork's stat program to help you lose weight and restore your health.
Diet books always sell. Mm-hmm.
The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald, which is nearly 90 years old, and it's ahead of Hillary's book.
Oh, my God.
A book called First 100 Words by Roger Priddy. It's a children's book that contains 100 words. that you can teach your kids how to say.
Well, see, Hillary's contains 100 words, too. They just use them over and over again.
Look and find Disney Frozen. It's like a Where's Waldo, but with the characters from Frozen. And so I am not going to take credit for this, but this is a great line. So on this list, all these books are ranked better right now than Hillary's book, which is at number 55 on Amazon. So on this list, we have two books about a cloistered ice queen who ascended to the throne thanks only to her family connections, and a book by Hillary Clinton.
All right, great.
No irony there.
Great work there, Nostradamus. All right, let's go to the phone lines where we have, looks like the promotions director of the station here. Joe, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Excellent. Yourself?
You know, that just goes to show you, Nostradamus, nobody's going to buy her lies no matter how she packages them.
That's right.
There you go. Amen to that. Amen
to
that.
You guys were talking a little while ago about that incident, Eric Holder suing the company because
the employees...
The question is, who hired them in the first place, knowing full well these guys don't speak English, and the individual that hired them should all...
Yeah, your phone is breaking up on us, but we got your question. That's a good point. You know, who hired these jokers in the first place? But they may have been required to hire them, knowing this government. Hey, Joe, can you stay with us? Because I would like to get your looks like we may have lost Joe. But Joe Ferrero, if you're still there, we'd like to talk to you after the break. Once again, more music by Lloyd Marcus.
When times are hard, we've got to stick together. We are Americans, good people, blessed by God. A unique experiment.
Indeed, we are blessed by God, and indeed, we are a unique experiment in all of human history. It's a great CD by Lloyd Marcus. It's called God, Country, and Love, and you can find out more about Lloyd Marcus and get his CDs at LloydMarcus.com. That's LloydMarcus.com, LloydMarcus.com. Great music, and he's going to take us out of the show tonight with a special song as a part of the tribute to Ed Ganster. It's going to be his rendition of Amazing Grace. So we'll finish up tonight with Lloyd Marcus, Amazing Grace. Ed Ganster is a member of the American Adversaries family, and he's been with us from the very start when we started almost 4 years ago now on Sunday night. And he's always been tremendous encouragement to me. He kind of reminded me of my dad. I mean, they didn't really look a whole lot alike. Both men of impeccable integrity, the highest form of integrity, and political realists. And I always drew great strength from being around Ed Ganster.
Well, he was a ball of energy.
He was. And OS 91, his organization where they provide Psalm 91 to first responders around the world in the hundreds of thousands, he really believes in the power of the word. Because there is power in the word. And Ed Ganster is a great man. And we have Joe Ferrero on the line. And I want to thank, once again, publicly thank Joe Ferrero because he introduced us to Ed and Mary Ganster. And it was a result of that introduction that we have met so many other fascinating people and done things that we never would have been able to do otherwise. Joe, thank you so very much for your friendship with Ed Ganster that you shared with us.
Ed was a great American patriot. He was a friend. He was genuine and sincere for his love for first responders, be it military, EMT, or police. He wanted and still will be honoring them every year. And his wife, Mary, equally wonderful, wonderful person. And my prayers and condolences go out to the family.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One thing we can be rest assured of, though, with Ed Ganster, there's no question that that man's in heaven, and there's a big celebration going on there, you know, for, you know, he was a great guy. He was a priest and left the order to serve God in a different way, but never left God. God was always first and foremost in his life. That's what drove his organizing OS 91, Psalm 91. and getting that into the hands of people so that it could benefit them. And just a great guy and very friendly too, and just, you know, one of the, you know, very, you know, easy to hold a conversation with.
Yeah, our family's great because when the Lord first put on his heart to have this honorary banquet each year for first responders, he came to the radio station and we instantly got behind it, and it had humble beginnings where it was at First Baptist Orlando, and then now it's being held annually at the Rose Center.
Yep. And, of course, I'm sure that will carry on, but there will be a lot of heavy hearts in the first responder community tonight, as well as with us, the American Adversaries. And if any of you folks were there last September at our anniversary celebration, Ed and Mary were there, and God bless them. I remember I can see him right now vividly, he and Mary sitting there front row, big smiles on their face. And I'm so sad that we're not going to be able to share his friendship in this world anymore. But in a way, I'm reassured knowing that a fellow like Ed Ganster, you know, is going to be there when we get there. So, you know.
We will see him on the other side, no doubt.
Yep, for sure. All right. Well, thank you very much, Joe Ferrero. We appreciate it. And once again, thank you for sharing your friendship with Ed with us. And, folks, if you would like to say a prayer for Ed, you know, please do. But say a prayer mostly for his family and friends who are going to miss him so very dearly because, hey, let's face it, Ed is in paradise. He is for sure in heaven. There is no question in my mind about it. And by the way, he had coded out a couple of times, which means he went code blue on the table. And when he was able to communicate, he asked for something to write with and what he wrote with. And this is after he was coded out. He wrote three simple letters, G-O-D. He's found his way home tonight, folks. Please find your way home safely and soundly. So for the American Adversaries, we'll end the show tonight with goodbye, Ed, till we see you again.
Amazing, 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 amazing grace.
Mercy and grace surrounds me every day. I give praise and honor where it's due, 'cause it's the power of Christ that gets me through. We were drawn together in unity to sing about God's grace, peace, and harmony. It's plain to see, it's written all over our faces. We're talking about amazing grace.
Yes, when this flesh, heart shall fail, immortal life shall cease.